In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, June 10th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. President Barack Obama endorsed Hillary Clinton's candidacy yesterday after a closed-door meeting with Bernie Sanders.
I want to congratulate Hillary Clinton on making history as the presumptive Democratic nominee for President of the United States. Look, I know how hard this job can be. That's why I know Hillary will be so good at it.
President Obama also said there has never been, quote, someone so qualified for the office, unquote. Let us not forget the qualifications for leadership provided in God's Word in Exodus 18. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Hillary Clinton's Democrat contender, Bernie Sanders, also announced on Thursday that he plans to work with Clinton to keep the Republican nominee from becoming president. USA Today Network reports that Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has been involved in 3,500 lawsuits over the last 30 years. The investigation interviewed hundreds of people who allegedly were not paid for the work they did for the Trump companies. The review also uncovered at least 200 liens filed by contractors and employees for non-payment of services. Last month, USA Today reported that Trump Miami Resort Management settled with 48 servers over another compensation complaint for a special event. Columnist Cal Thomas interviewed Donald Trump on Wednesday, saying at one point, "You have said you never felt the need to ask for God's forgiveness. And yet, repentance for one's sins is a precondition to salvation." Trump responded with this, "I will be asking for forgiveness," he said, "but hopefully I won't have to be asking for much forgiveness." Another story on Fox News about a teacher having an illicit relationship with a 13-year-old student in the Houston area. As of this date, WorldNet Daily also records 13 pages of similar accounts of sexual abuse in the brave new schools. Matthew 18:6 says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that Americans do not have a constitutional right to conceal carry a firearm. The ruling upheld a California state law that requires concealed carry applications to show that they have good cause to carry, such as the fear of personal safety. Gun owners will no doubt appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court. A federal judge issued an order to North Carolina State University to temporarily discontinue their policy that required Grace Christian Life College Ministry to obtain a permit for sharing the gospel of Christ. The case is not over yet, but Tyson Langhofer, senior counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom, told The World View that the federal judge's ruling is a hopeful step in the right direction.
As far as the end result goes, we are encouraged by the court's ruling because in order to grant this injunction, he had to find that we, Grace Christian Life, had a substantial likelihood of prevailing on the merits of the case, or in other words, of prevailing at the end of the case. And so, we're encouraged by it, and we believe that, obviously the court ruling was correct, and we are hopeful that he will make this a permanent injunction, at the end of the case.
Tragically, the first Right to Die clinic opened in California yesterday after California's suicide law went into effect. The Bay Area end-of-life operations has opened for business. Proverbs 24:11 reminds us to rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. The United Nations is not happy with Ireland, almost the last nation in the dying Western world to retain pro-life laws. The Human Rights Committee has declared that Ireland's bans on abortions are, quote, degrading and cruel, unquote, to women. The Soviet Union was the first modern state to legalize abortion in 1920. Today, only Ireland and Poland restrict abortion on demand. retail businesses are losing to the internet, hands down. Ralph Lauren announced that they will be laying off 1,200 employees. This follows layoff announcements from Walmart, Nordstrom's, and Macy's. Also, Sears, JCPenney's, and Gap stores are planning to shut down their stores as well. And that's the World View on this Friday, June 10th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, also a pastor of a church out here in Elbert County. Steve Vaughn in studio with us today as we take a look at what's happening in the world from a distinctively biblical worldview perspective. It's important for us to be men of Issachar, understand the times, and also men who are shepherding the church, much as Titus 1 instructs us to be able to rebuke the cultural sins of the day. And that's something we take very seriously, and we hope many other pastors and leaders across this country are doing the same thing for Christians who perhaps are wondering what is going on as these national sins are being touted. And here's an example of a national sin that is being approved of at the very, very highest echelons of the land. A bit shocking as a presidential proclamation comes out just a week or so ago. And let me read this presidential proclamation signed by the President of the United States. "Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim June 2016, which, by the way, is this month, June 2016 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. I call upon the people of the United States to eliminate prejudice everywhere it exists and to celebrate the great diversity of the American people, in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand this 31st day of May in the year of our Lord, 2016.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. In what?
Yes. Gay Pride Month in the year of our Lord. There it is, my friends.
Oh, my.
Gay Pride Month in the year of our Lord. Did you get that? You
well,
get it.
Yes.
Gay pride in the year of our Lord.
Why didn't he say common era?
Well, yep. apparently there's something of the old and the new combined, synthesized in America. We still have something of a memory of a Christian worldview. 2,000 years of the reign of Jesus Christ and the influence of Jesus Christ upon George Washington, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson cannot be wiped away very easily. Yes, the left is working very, very hard to destroy a Christian heritage, the rule of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years. I speak of that in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. But in the last chapter, I remind them that the mills of God grind slowly but very fine. And Jesus Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will always destroy the nations. He will always bring them down. They will always turn into a bloodbath. And the Church of Jesus Christ will survive. The Kingdom of Jesus will always emerge victoriously. That, my friends, is the history of 2,000 years of the rule of Jesus Christ. And yet, what we see right now is something of the synthesis that existed in Old Testament Israel and Judah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take a look at Jeroboam, who split off the 10 northern tribes from Rehoboam, and instead of wanting them to go and worship in Jerusalem, set up golden calves in Dan and Beersheba. Mm-hmm. And he said, "This is the God that brought you out of Egypt, this golden calf." And so he said, "Come and worship them." He appointed whoever wanted to be a priest, they could come and be a priest.
You know, to say that this is Gay Pride Month, June of 2016, in the year of our Lord, in the name of our Lord, which is a reference, there's no question, it's a reference to Jesus Christ born some 2016 years ago.
Yes.
That's important. Friends, they're bringing a synthesis together. It is somewhat of the ultimate blasphemy. It's a shameful thing. Think about aligning Jesus with a sexual sin or aligning Jesus with bestiality and then celebrating this sexual sin in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate blasphemy that is happening at the very, very top echelons
of the United States of America. And I need to say this, if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, if Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and if he has ruled over the nations, and he's destroyed nations, empires, over the last 2,000 years, friends, we're in trouble. Be back in just a moment.
Does it seem like your family is getting pulled 100 directions? Is a crazy schedule and a hostile but enticing culture making it hard to stay connected to your kids? Join families from across the country for the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati on August 19th and 20th, based on lessons from the life of Noah. The NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, the Benham brothers and their father Flip, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, you'll receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation. Go to noahconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noahconference.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn in studio. And this is, according to presidential proclamation, this is Gay Pride Month in the year of our Lord 2016, according to the President of the United States, a proclamation signed in May 31st of 2016. Friends, this is an abomination. There's no question this is an abomination and ought to be in the minds of every single Christian. Anybody who respects the Lord Jesus Christ, believes in him, trusts in him, and acknowledges him to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is the President of the United States acknowledging this to be Gay Pride Month. Again, the celebration of two sins, not one. It's a twofer sin, something I told Alan Combs a couple of weeks ago when he asked me, what's wrong with gay pride? I said, two problems. They're both sins as defined by God, sexual sin and pride. Two very, very key sins, and they really represent the sin of America. America is filled with sexual sin at just about every level. It's shot through America. Fornication is probably the sin most embraced across this country. 80% of even Christian boys, 18 to 24 years of age, wrapped up in pornography on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, monthly basis. And of course, the divorce problem, the premarital fornication issue, et cetera, et cetera. You just add all the instincts together, you've got a gigantic iceberg, most of which is below the sea, but that which is above the sea has been approved of by the Supreme Court of the United States and the President of the United States. Homosexuality, the sin that is most celebrated today, is just a representation of all the other sins that lie under the surface of the ocean, this gigantic iceberg that pretty much dominates this entire nation. Most churches are soaked in these problems, in these sins, and we as pastors need to call people to repentance and to fall on their faces before God and beg for his mercy as the publican did. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Two kinds of sinners. There's the homosexual who falls on his face and cries out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the other, the proud gay who stands up and celebrates his gayness in June of 2016. Friends, this is America. This is the 97, 98, 99, 100% of Americans who have these issues. They have the issue of pride and they have the issue of sexual sin. These two sins very much identify the American sinful condition. We have so many problems with pride, and I'm going to do a special program on that in just a day or two, because I think Americans' sin is pride over anything else. But these are the two sins that are celebrated so much across this country, and therefore America has agreed to celebrate these things for the month of June of 2016. Of course, we're going to exempt ourselves from that. You know, it's interesting that there are many false Christs now that dominate in American religion today.
Oh, yeah.
The President of the United States claims to know something of the Lord. He refers to somebody named Jesus, and he uses the writings of Jesus to defend his positions. And he has done so recently on the transgender issue.
Yeah. He used the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and saying that having transgender people use other bathrooms than what they are biologically born as is biblical. He's saying that this is it's consistent with the Bible. And that's just ridiculous.
You know, it is a twisted rendering of the golden rule. And, you know, again, I think you have to study some of these things in order to understand how to answer somebody who uses the golden rule to defend that position on the transgender bathroom. Something similar has been used towards masochists, because masochists want to be tortured. So the application of the golden rule would be what?
To torture the masochist.
Exactly. Which is precisely the tortured rendering that the President of the United States is using with the revelation of Jesus Christ, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But this is an argument against ethical egoism. This is an argument that Christians have used very often against the ethical theories that are not rooted in biblical law. The problem, of course, is that God retains the right to define what is good. The masochist doesn't know what is good. The problem with a masochist and the problem with a transgendered person, he doesn't know what he wants. What he wants is fulfillment. What he wants is satisfaction. What he wants is atonement. The masochist wants atonement. That's why he does his self-cuttings and his self-torturing. But what he really wants is what? He wants fulfillment. He wants atonement. He's got a guilt problem. So as Christians, we need to dig down a little bit more to fundamental issues, fundamental definitions of right and wrong. And we need to say, what is it that the masochist really wants? It turns out he wants atonement. And if he wants atonement, he's not going to get it by self-atonement. And why is that, Steve?
Because you cannot pay for your own sin.
That's right.
You've sinned against an infinite God.
That's
you cannot
right.
pay infinity with your own blood.
You cannot torture yourself all day long, day in and day out for 375 years and still somehow accomplish the atonement that you need. And so therefore, what do we do to the masochist but present to him the atoning sacrifice, the efficacious sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the very Son of God who came and took the torture and provided the sacrifice for us. Okay, so that's the gospel of Jesus, and that's why you cannot apply the golden rule to the masochist or to the transgendered person. I realize it takes a little bit of thought to work through some of these twisted renderings of Scripture, and you find that at the highest positions of the land through the writings and through the speeches of the President of the United States, sadly enough. But these are false Christs. These are false interpretations. This is proof texting your positions without taking the full context of the Word of God. This is the Thomas Jefferson Bible, where you clip out the pieces you like and you throw the rest away. Friends, this is very common. This is what we do in the modern age. We come up with our own religions, and I'm sure there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of religions that have been derived from the Word of God simply because people don't want to take the whole Word and submit themselves to the commandments of Jesus. The bottom line, my friends, is that true believers are those who believe in Jesus, and they submit themselves to the commandments of God. They keep the commandments of God. This is how you distinguish those who are members of the beastly community, those who follow the Antichrist, those who follow the beast, those who follow the humanists that are the Antichrists, and those who belong to Jesus. Those who belong to Jesus are those who believe in Jesus and keep the commandments of God, according to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. The problem with the President of the United States and the false religions, the false Christian religions across the country, is they ignore the commandments of Jesus. They refuse to bow to his ethics. When we speak of the year of our Lord, Steve, we're assuming the Lord, right? We're assuming right. that Jesus is the Lord. We're assuming that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he's on the right hand of the Father, and he's been there since AD 33. That's what we're assuming, which means what? He's got the right to tell us what to do.
Right. And when he said that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, therefore, and then he gives commands. Saying the year of our Lord means that he is the Lord of all.
Well, it's interesting, the contrast between the President of the United States' proclamation in 2016, providing June 2016 as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Pride Month. So the entire month has been declared to be a celebration of homosexuality, one of the key sins of this country. A sin has brought the judgment of God down upon Tyre and Sidon, upon the Canaanites, according to Leviticus chapter 18. This was the sin, or one of the sins of incest and homosexuality, that brought the judgment of God down upon Canaan, in which God, in by his sovereign ordination, brought about the slaughter of man, woman, and child during that period of time, some 2,000 years before Christ. It also brought God's judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is the sin that has brought God's judgment upon nations in time past. It is a sin that the President of the United States is celebrating in June of 2016. What a contrast between the Continental Congress and the President of the United States in 2016. Take a look at this proclamation that came from the Continental Congress on April 28, 1780. It was not a time for celebration. They weren't going to celebrate Gay Pride Month, and they weren't going to celebrate the pride of the United States, lifting themselves up against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, declaring themselves to be the sovereign over all law, and shaking their fist in the face of Almighty God. That's what the Supreme Court and the President of the United States have done over the last year. But this is a contrast. At the founding of this nation some 200 years ago, they weren't concerned about pride. They weren't really wanting to celebrate pride. They really didn't want to celebrate homosexuality either. On April 28, 1780, they called for national repentance and prayer, sackcloth and ashes. It having pleased the righteous governor of the world. Okay, this is the proclamation. It having pleased the righteous governor of the world, speaking of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for the punishment of our manifold offenses, which at that time probably wasn't the sin of homosexuality. There was an occasion of that, about 1 in 100,000. It was very, very rare. This sin didn't occur very much back then. It was there, but it wasn't very common as it is today in our sexual sin saturated society. But it having pleased the righteous governor of the world for the punishment of our manifold offenses to permit the sword of war still to harass this country, it becomes us to endeavor by humbling ourselves before him. I'm not getting a gay pride sense here. Are you?
No, it's kind of quite the opposite.
Yes, they want to humble themselves before God, turning from every evil way, to avert his anger and obtain his favor and blessing with one heart and one voice, to implore the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth to remember her mercy in his judgments, to make us sincerely penitent for our transgressions, to prepare us for deliverance, and to renounce the evils with which he is pleased to visit us. Steve, I tell you, I'm just not sensing this in the June 2016 proclamation from the President of the United States. Penitence, humbling ourselves, abhorring ourselves before God, submitting ourselves to the judgment of Almighty God. I'm not getting that in the year 2016.
I think they could have written in the year of our Lord back then, and it would have made sense.
Probably. Then, by the way, they did that proclamation on October 17, 1780, but they did another one. I'm sorry. They did that one in April of 1780. They did this one on October 17th, 1780. A Continental Congress called for another day of repentance and prayer twice in the same year. Can you believe it?
Wow.
The delegates instructed the people. Again, this is the Continental Congress in October of 1780. They set the day for December 7th, 1780. They called the people to assemble on that day to celebrate the praises of our divine benefactor, to confess our unworthiness of the least of his favors, to offer our fervent supplications to the God of all graces, that it may please him to pardon our heinous transgressions, incline our hearts to for the future to keep all his laws, and that he would cause the knowledge of Islam to spread all over the earth. No, I'm sorry. I missed it for a second. That wasn't the proclamation. No. They wanted to commit themselves to keep all of his laws, and that he would cause the knowledge of Christianity to spread all over the earth. Friends, that's the vision that formed the nation 200 years ago. That's the reason for the blessing of God upon this nation for 200 years. That's the reason why America's the most God-blessed, economically blessed nation on the face of the earth. Until about 10 years ago, the median income has peaked out. America is going downhill. America's collapsing. And while America collapses, America is celebrating Gay Pride Month, month in June of 2016. Now, if you ever wonder if there's a possibility for national repentance, I know there are a lot of naysayers who say there's just no way that any nation will ever repent before Almighty God in the New Testament era. They did it in the Old Testament era. If a nation that had almost no access whatsoever to any divine revelation in Old Testament times could repent of their sins on the basis of a very reluctant prophet who hardly wanted to show up and could barely say the words. He didn't even say anything more than this. This is all he said. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. He was just the big pessimistic naysaying prophet that came to Nineveh and said, hey, guys, this whole place is coming down in 40 days. That's the end of the message. I'm not going to give you any hope. There's no hope for mercy as far as I'm concerned. See ya. That's Jonah. Yeah. You talk about a prophet that was a little reluctant.
Just a bit. And yet they turned around.
And yet the people of Nineveh believed God. Proclaimed a fast, put on the sackcloth from greatest to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and resist and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Wow, they repented. And God did not bring that destruction into Nineveh on that month.
Yeah, and we just finished reading Kings as a family. You've got Manasseh, and then you have Josiah. And Josiah turned things around.
I don't hear a breath of this from anybody,
yeah,
except for Franklin Graham.
Yeah.
That's it. In terms of national figures, now I'm a nobody. I'm less than nobody junior.
Yeah. I'm less than nobody.
Nobody junior. There's nobody junior. Okay, that's us. You know, we've been calling for repentance for a very long time. And I know nobody listens, or very few people listen to us. But Franklin Graham has said it a number of times across this nation, and I'm thankful for it. But I haven't heard the king of Nineveh come even close to this. He's celebrating Gay Pride Month. Where's the sackcloth? Where's the ashes, Mr. President of the United States? Well, I know that modern man doesn't believe in God. I know they don't take God seriously. They mention his name. Half the time they're cursing him. The other time, half the time they use him in formality, as he did in the case of this proclamation for June 2016 being Gay Pride Month. He uses it in a formal sense. He doesn't believe that God would come to destroy a nation. He's too proud for that. He doesn't believe in the judgment of Almighty God. He doesn't think that we need to repent of our sins, that we're a sinful people that need to throw ourselves before God and cry out like the publican, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This nation is filled with Pharisees that can't think of a reason for falling on their faces and saying, God, we are overcome with our sin of homosexuality, fornication, porn addictions, and the rest. Our nation can't even think of a reason to do that. Why? Because we're utterly saturated in pride. And we cannot think that God is sovereign, God is still the creator of the universe, that God is still a God of judgment and will bring unrelenting judgment to this world one day. Friends, it's time for us to realize the judgment of God and the sinful condition we're in and really humble ourselves before God. I mean, mourn and weep. And sit in sackcloth and ashes and cry out for God's mercy. I know it's politically incorrect. I know it's weird. I know we haven't done that in 200 years. I understand that. And anybody who calls for it is a complete pariah. I understand all that. But I'm saying, if there's a God, and you think there may be a God who still judges nations and is a God who will toss the wicked into hell forever, then just do this. Just fall on your face. Cry out for mercy, perhaps some sackcloth and ashes, but plead for mercy at the cross of Jesus Christ, and you will find mercy there. You will find mercy there, because that's why Jesus Christ came. He came for publicans who have come face to face with the shocking reality of their own sinful condition and their
absolute abject need for God's mercy in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, my friends, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, if you're kind of interested in the history of this nation and how God blessed this nation with this amazing freedom, and how the foundations of this nation were formed around these amazing proclamations for repentance, prayer, and fasting, you'll find the entire story in the new book, Freedom, just released from Generations. I'd encourage you to read a little bit about the history of what God has done in history with some nations. And these are amazing, amazing blessings that God has brought upon nations, often through some of the most amazing Christian leaders that the world has ever known. Read the story in a little book called Freedom. It's a hardback book issued by Generations and available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.